Blog Talk Radio. I guess Kurt Franklin wanted to cut in a little bit more of my time than I anticipated. But welcome, welcome, welcome to Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Killings, Dr. Heaven, whatever you call me. Call me a child of God. But I'm happy that you decided to be here with me on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. One, praise God, that's leading us closer and closer to the new year, praise God. And so we wanted to make sure that since Saturday, those of us that celebrate Christmas, we wanted to make sure that we knew Jesus is the reason for the season. And so, praise God, I didn't start with my normal go to the altar song, praise God, but I thought it was fitting for the season. So thank you, thank you, thank you again for tuning in. Our goal is to make sure that we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so I'm looking forward to the message that God has for us on tonight. And so before we get started into our lesson, I want to make sure that I thank all of the new listeners that chimed in on tonight, however you logged in or dialed in. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We are on every Monday night, and we try to give an inspiring word to, like I said, keep you encouraged, to give you insight or educate you. It may not be a brand new topic, but it is one that should give you more information or something to give you enough meat to make you want to go and study some more. And so with that, we want you to make sure that you do the necessary changes, because information, we're hoping that it's revelation, because revelation causes you to change. And when you make those necessary changes, and then you're willing to empower someone else and be empowered yourself. And so again, welcome, welcome. For those of you, praise God, that are moving with me into the ninth year, praise God, we've been in this thing. I thank you, thank you, thank you for keeping me focused, for keeping me encouraged, for allowing me to do what God calls me to do, and that is to share a word. And I know that because of you, that I am able to do it in comfort and in ease, because you're praying for me and you're encouraging me and you're lifting me up, and you do so by telling me and, like I said, praying and then encouraging me and keeping me informed. So I thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, this wouldn't be possible, and I say this every week and will, praise God, until this vein or the path closes, which I'm hoping it won't. But nevertheless, I have to give gratitude and thanks to Jesse and Tammy Storr and the Mega Ministry Group, because praise God, they pushed me in this, on this path, and they've been examples in keeping me here and focused to do what God has called me to do and provided this wonderful platform. And they've been examples of what it is to be disciplined and to be diligent to the assignment that God has called and that God has prepared us all for, and that is to share the gospel. And so I'm grateful, always grateful to them. Now, the greatest praise and the biggest praise we have to give is to our Father above, and praise God that he got enough of us to love us so that we could have a relationship with him. And so we always want to make sure that we start with prayer before we do the lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. We thank you, Father, for waking us up, for allowing us to have our health and our strength and our being. And, Father, even if it's not to the perfection of what we deem, thank you, Father, that you give us what we need so that we can do what we need according to your plan and your purpose, and that you have a plan and a purpose for us, and that is for us to succeed. And so we thank you, Father, for all the tools and gifts that you've given. We won't be remiss to thank you, thank you, thank you for the word, to thank you for what we're even talking about for tonight and in the next couple of days, for the sacrifice Jesus made to come on our behalf so that we could have an intimate relationship with you. And we couldn't do that without a little help. And so we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And again, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for dying on the cross. We thank you for the word that's a roadmap to everything we possibly could need and want to know. And so, Father, it's just all wrapped up in those three little nuggets, the word, the Holy Spirit, and then the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And so we just thank you, Father, and we want to make sure that we honor you and adore you and recognize that you are divine and that we're branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will do our best to take care of the root so that we can continue to have much fruit, because you said that the fruit that you give, as long as we stay and abide in you, it will bear plentiful fruit. And so as long as we stay in the root and take care of our assignments, then, Father, we will do the things that are necessary, and that will last and it will remain. And so, Father, we love you, we honor, we adore you. We'll believe there's no distractions on tonight and that everyone will receive a rhema word, including me, Father, to be about your business so that we can walk into the new year if you see fit to be stronger, to be better, and to be wiser, and to do the things that we've been all called to do, and that is to serve you and to do the things that you've called us to do to help others understand your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. But I'm grateful that you're here on tonight with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so on tonight, I don't know if those of you that know me don't hear that extra pep in my step like I normally have. And it's because I've been burdened. And it hasn't been the burden because I'm going through something necessarily, but just life and just how disappointing it must be for God to some extent, because we have changed the mindset, our hearts, to so many things that involve this world system, and that we're not really focusing on our attention on Jesus and the assignments that each of us have. And even though the past couple of weeks we've been talking about how the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and how he comes to distract us from doing the things that God has called us to, because he knows our future, he knows our gifts, he knows our talents, and he knows them better than we do because we're not operating in them. And so my challenge and my assignment, at least I believe, is to help people, empower them to see the gifts and the talents that they have and use them, not for the benefit of themselves or even people around them, but to glorify so that all the glory will go to God. And I think somehow in this system, we have been so programmed to believe that, you know, it's all about me and it's all about what I need to do for this person and that person. And we're forgetting to take care of our root, because that's where the real fruit comes from. And so it was interesting that God allowed me to kind of trip through my week. And all the things he just kept pulling on my plate and putting on my plate and putting on my plate, I thought, okay, Lord, what do I talk about? And I think I was most disturbed why you talk about the ghost of Christmas past. He sent me down these lanes, if you will, to help me understand my purpose and my direction and where I'm supposed to be and how I've been distracted at times. And so each person that I talked to, for the most part this week, left little nuggets that God was showing me the areas where I need to get it together. And so now, the last couple of years, if you will, I have been so caught up on CNN. Or not just CNN in particular, but I keep that on most of the time. But I watch all new media outlets just because I want to stay in the know, because I know that signs and wonders comes through vehicles that God uses. And so I usually am abreast of what's going on, and I normally use that as a platform to know how to guide, navigate my prayers, and even in my lessons when I teach or motivate or counsel people. And so last Monday, I was so caught up, I don't know what I was doing, why I was distracted, and I didn't turn on the news that day. And so after I finished the broadcast, I turned the news on and I was devastated because I didn't know about the tornado that ripped through Kentucky and through some of the other little small towns that really devastated a lot of people, because I would have mentioned that we need to be in prayer. And because I think sometimes we forget, we watch the news or we hear different stories and we don't stop and pray. We're like, oh, wow, that's horrible. And then we go on to the rest of our day. And so the Lord was showing me that I couldn't get caught up, because I really would have mentioned, because I didn't realize how the magnitude, and I could have just turned the news on and would have known that to say something. But he just showed me from a perspective, from his perspective, not necessarily the full gamut, because praise God, none of us can understand the way God does. But he gave me enough of a nugget not to beat myself up because I missed that, because from his global view, there are so many tragedies that are going on in this system that those of us that claim to be on the wall, that claim to be intercessing and praying for others, we're missing the main point that what God is intending for all of us to do, because somehow we've been infiltrated by the system. And what I mean by that is that just in different conversations I've had with people, you know, they're racing, trying to make sure that they can get gifts for their loved ones, and how they're trying to do certain things before certain time. I mean, and people's lives are moving on, and there are a lot of hurting people. And while those of us that praise God have not been completely affected by the pandemic, many of us, you know, have little expendable change, and so we're buying and buying. But are we really thinking about those that are really hurting? You know, my daughter sent me a list, both of them, by email and by text, and they've communicated. And I had my youngest even wrote hers down, and she brought me a magazine and had all the tabs in the magazine pulled for the things that she wanted. And although in the past, you know, that's been super cool because I try to make sure that I get my children what they want. But this year, it's a little different because I'm seeing so much hypocrisy that there's no love behind what we're actually saying and what we're doing. And it grieves my spirit. It grieves my spirit that COVID has caused families to go against each other, because if you don't do it the way I want you to do it, I want you to do it, I'm going to withdraw myself from you. I just keep hopping on a topic when if people make a decision, they made a decision. And sometimes because we think that we know and we have the best, we don't know all the situations that other people are going through. We need to say what we mean what we say, and leave it alone and put it in God's hands. But not just even with COVID. It's so many things that we really should be pressing. Are our family members saved, and have they given their lives totally to Christ? Why are we not pushing that button? Why are we not pushing the button that most of the people that are affected by COVID, that have problems with the vaccination and all the other things, because of our lifestyle? Why are we not hopping on that? I have gotten so many calls about me having the vaccination. I'm just using me because I can use for me. But nobody's calling me and telling me to push away from the table. Nobody's calling and making sure I took my blood pressure medicine. Nobody's making sure that I'm following up on my appointment like they are doing the other thing. We have to be mindful on the real thing that we should be pushing. I am confident that if I die from COVID, if I step outside my door and get hit by a bus, if pieces from a plane fall out of the sky and hit me in the head, that I am going to be with my Father and my Savior. I'm confident of that. So I'm not concerned about how I'll leave the planet. I'm more concerned, am I doing what God has called me to do? Have I done the assignment that God has called me to do? I don't care about dying anymore because I know that I've already overcome, because the word says that I have overcome. And if God really wants me to do this or do that, and I know who I am and whose I am, and I'm doing what God has called me to do, if you have that much faith in me, then you got to believe that I know what I'm doing. And so when we put our pressures and our views and our beliefs on other people, and they're not in agreement, that's confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. How I ask God, and I struggle with, you know, what to name this title for the broadcast, and for a lack of a better word, it was how to be merry for Christmas. We say Merry Christmas, but what does merry mean? Merry means an occasion or a season characterized by festivities and rejoicing. But how can many of us rejoice when some of us are even scared to be around our family because we don't know what they'll harp on? Well, you know, are they going to go off on me? Are they going to say nasty things to me? Am I going to feel isolated because I don't do these things that they do and they don't do the things I do? It is a horrible thing for somebody to have to go or be around family and feel alone. What are we doing to make sure that doesn't happen this time of this season? And, you know, some people don't even celebrate the holiday season according to Christmas. I mean, what is Christmas even in the Bible? I mean, as people, we celebrate because we grew up doing it. But is it in the Bible? I mean, we know that Jesus came because we know the story, and I'll share that in a moment, but it not necessarily was December 25th, but we celebrate it, and I'm grateful that we celebrate it because we give the world an opportunity to stop about our Savior, and so I'm grateful for that. But is it on December 25th? I can't say that it is, but we know he came, and we know that he was born and placed in a manger. We know those stories, but are we really communicating the right salvation story to our family members to make sure that they are saved so that when they close their eyes, whether it's from COVID or whether it's from heart disease, whether it's from cancer, whether it's from anything, are they going to be prepared to meet the Maker? Are they going to be prepared, as my aunt said, the source? And I love that. Like I said, I got so many nuggets talking to different people this week, and she said that she heard somewhere explained that God is the source, Jesus is the course, and the Holy Spirit is the force. And so she kept talking. I was like, wait. I got to write that down because that was deep. And I want to make sure that I get that in my norm so that I can take that to God and have him really explain to me how to explain that and share that with other people. God is our source for everything. And so while we're busy trying to be many gods, we got to be mindful not to take his place. We go to him because he is the source. He knows the beginning. He knows the middle. He knows the end. He knows how all of our lives were transpired. Just praise God. The Bible says that he knew every hair. He knows every hair on our head. But before we was even in our mother's womb, he knew what we would do and what we would not do. And so while we're so busy condemning people and shaming people and bullying people, God knows already. And so what we need to be doing is we need to be leading people to the proper course, and that course is Jesus. If we lead them to Jesus and believe that we really showed them the path to get to him, they will recognize he is the light, he is the way, he is the truth. And when they know that for themselves, not because I just walk people through the little steps of salvation and then I leave them. That was one of the challenges that I have with church, is because we lead people to Christ and they come and we celebrate and we run and shout, and then we don't talk to those people ever again. We don't even know their names. We just celebrated because they walked down the aisle and gave their life to Christ. Who's following up with these people? Who is making sure that they're coming to get the training that they need so that they can stay on the path with Christ? Are we doing that? I mean, I was part of a ministry, praise God, we called the Care Callers. And so we called these people that evening to make sure that, did you understand the decision that you made? Because it is overwhelming. You got, you know, that throbbing in your heart because there's Jesus knocking at your door and you don't quite understand, especially those that are really new to what that really means. But they just feel something because something has transpired in our service to cause them to want to give and yield themselves. And then we whisk them off and take them in the back room and make them fill out an application so we can keep up with them, do we? But we keep the application. And in some churches, we take their pictures and we give them nice little gifts, and that's the end. But praise God, the church that I belong to, we would call the people that evening and ask them, do you understand the decision you made today? Because with all the hoopla, because I know I've talked to quite a few of those people, and they're confused because they're like, you're taking me out of the sanctuary and you're taking me to this room. You know, the people I came with, you know, I'm embarrassed a little bit. Do they know where I am? How am I going to get home? Did they leave me? All these things are going through your mind. And then, praise God, you get home, and it's like, what you do that for? And then you have no support system to keep you building up to talk about what my aunt said, to know who the source is, to follow the course, and to allow the force of the Holy Spirit to help you. They don't know that yet. They're babes. And so we have to be more mindful. We're talking about being Merry Christmas, being merry, rejoicing, yes, that they gave their life to Christ, but more so helping them stay on the course to to make sure that they understand who Jesus is and what he's doing for them. Now, if you want to beat up somebody with that, amen, I'd rather be beating the head that Jesus loves me and that no matter what happens in my life, he will always be there for me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Are you kidding me? I need that. We all do. We all do. So let's hop on that. Chris, let's think of strategies when our families come together. How are we going to make sure that our family members are living the life of Christ? Well, it's not going to be because we're going to be up on them. We're going to go to the Word, and we're going to ask God, Lord, show me which scriptures I can share with my family. Give me games. Give me witty ideas of how we can have conversations to not bully my family into Christianity or to salvation, but to make it fun, to have a joyful and what's the definition for marriage? Have a joyful and festive weekend. How do I do that so that people feel included? Whether they drink, smoke, gay, straight, fat, small, skinny. I mean, we pick out some of the craziest things to make people feel isolated when we're supposed to be coming together to be married and have love and celebrate that Jesus loves us enough that he sent a Savior. Amen. And so, amen. I can get caught up in that. But I was having challenges with my computer, and so I couldn't figure out how to shut it down. And then I remember Control-Alt-Delete. I don't know if many of you know about these keys, but Control-Alt-Delete clears everything so you can start over. I think a lot of us going into the new year need to do a Control-Alt-Delete. Lord, okay, show me a new way to celebrate you, to understand how I can follow the course of Jesus. Help me take a class. I'm taking a class on how to finish my book because, praise God, I pretty much have most of it done, but I just didn't have the direction on where to go or how to do it, and then I was distracted. And so I'm so busy trying to do these other books because I have three books that I'm trying to do at the same time. And the Holy Spirit convicted me in this week of my little journey of where I'm missing the boat. What book do the people that I told you to write want, and that the book that will help the people the most? It is not your autobiography. It's I need you to tell these people how they're enticed and entangled by Satan so they can be free from him, so that they understand the source, that they understand the course, and that they can use the force to their benefit, because that's what Jesus came for. Amen. So we have to sometimes figure out, and this is not for me to point out or anybody else. We have to look within, and we have to know what God is calling us to do so that we will make the right decisions to understand, how do I really minister to people? How can I be merry, not just at Christmas, but all the time? How can I always rejoice and be festive in any occasion, any occasion? This weekend, we had an opportunity to take pictures for a friend of ours from years ago. She had a workshop. And so she just needed us to take pictures and to print them on spot of the kids sitting on Santa Claus. And it was the coolest thing to me because it was decorated so pretty. And, it was really lively, and, you know, and everybody was enjoying the cheer and the festivities. And so I was in the back because, you know, I do most of the work. And Jerry takes pictures, but I do the printing and stuff. But nevertheless, I was in the back. But I could see through the peephole, through the curtains, to see the faces of these children. And so I asked, I said, where did these kids come from? And I said, and then, you know, did you do this because of, why? And she said, God just laid it on my heart to just go to the neighboring daycares that maybe, you know, some of the moms may need, you know, a little help. And so just a few little moments, you know, to bring joy to these children. I thought, that's amazing. And she said, I didn't know how much this was going to cost. I didn't know, you know, what to really do. She said, but this is what I do. And so I decorated my place and let the kids, however many kids come, that's however many kids I'm a bless. And it was the coolest thing. And that is birthed out of following the course, that Jesus laid that on her heart and she was obedient to it. God was the source and gave her everything she needed so that she could provide the necessary things for these children. And then the Holy Spirit gave her the force and the energy to do what was necessary and call the right people to bring the people together to help these young mothers, because most of them were young mothers, that single mothers with children. I thought, Lord, why are we doing more of that? And so I'm, like I said, going through my little journey, watching these movies, and it's like, Lord, why are we just so nasty to each other? Why can't we support one another? Why is that difficult? Why do we not take the time to just, how can I bless somebody? And so the other day I was at Family Dollar and they couldn't use the credit card machine. But if you tapped it, you could use it. But so a lot of people kind of messed up because they didn't have any kind of credit cards. And so I was joking with the man in front of me because I always kind of do to keep to, you know, I like to be married. And I said, well, when we get up here, you're going to have to pay for my groceries because I don't have one of them cars neither. And he said, I'll pay for yourself. And I said, no, I was joking. He said, no, I'll really pay for it. And I was like, no, you don't have to do that. I said, I'm just grateful God gave me these change. I can do whatever, what I need to do. And so he paid for it anyway. And so I thought, you know, I like doing that too. I like blessing people in line. They're not expected. They're not to tell them, you know, that this is a blessing from God. And so when we got to the car, the gentleman says, you know, I just gave my life to Christ. He said, I accepted my call. He said, my father has been on me for years. He's a pastor of a church, and he said, I was just defiant. And he said, I figured if God has been good to me, I need to be good to other people. Another example where he is following the course that God has. It's delayed, maybe not. You know, most of us, you know, I'm not saying us in general, but just people would have said, you know, his dad's a pastor, and how he, you know, and he gave his life to Christ, and he's doing all this thing, and he had to be probably in his 30s or so, and he waited all this. We could be so judgmental, people. We need to be married. And why do we need to be married? I'm going to give you some scripture. Now, like I said, one of the coolest things that I think that I ever, gift I've ever gotten is salvation and deliverance. And salvation because, of course, my aunt's term, I found out who the source was. I knew there was a God because I grew up in the church. But actually understanding that he is the source and then really understanding how to be on the right course for Jesus, I understood the gift that God gave me by allowing me to have salvation and then allowing me to be delivered. And then, praise God, allowing the Holy Spirit to actively have a force to be able to move because I yielded to him. I couldn't do that until I got delivered because I was cutting off the supply of the force because God don't operate in sin. God don't operate in confusion. God don't operate in mess. So you got to get your life together. And that's why I say we got to take care of the root so that we can produce the fruit. Amen. So one of the best gifts, in my opinion, is salvation. And so why did Jesus come? Why do we have salvation? The best scripture, well, not the best, because all of them are good, but the scripture that God gave me for tonight, the one that I was given, this is the one that God gave me to go with. And it's Luke chapter 1, verses 71 through 79. Now, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to give you some little highlights. Now, I don't know if you remember, those of you that have been listening, we always talk about why it's important for us to know how to effectively understand the scriptures, to know who said what, where it came from. And so this preview, in many Bibles, they sometimes have the little summary, and that's how you can get kind of a better understanding of what the word is saying. And so this is Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied this. And so this is why this is significant, because, praise God, we're going to talk about that in a second. But it says, salvation from our enemies and from the hands of all who hated us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hands of our enemy and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercies of God, which by the rising sun will come to us from heaven. What does that mean? The rising sun that comes from heaven? That's light. Amen. 79. To shine on those living in darkness and in the shadows of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Now, the that's a whole lot, but praise God, if you don't understand it, read it for yourself so you can get a better understanding. But I'm going to try to break it down just a little bit more so you have a better understanding. When we talk about salvation, is pretty much a Latin word, and then it's derived from saved. And so this is according to the dictionary. And so it's a state of being saved or protected from harm or a dire situation. In religion and theology, salvation generally means to being delivered to the deliverance of our souls from sin and its consequences. And then I like that they put this, I'm sure there's other steps, but they said that the five steps is develop your faith, for you to repent, for you to be water baptized, to have the spirit indwelling or filling, and continuous study. And so when we talk about the prophecy that Zechariah God gave him, he gave many prophesied that Jesus is coming. But the one that I believe God wants us to really talk about tonight is that one of the reasons why Jesus came, why he's the reason for the season, is that he came to save us from our enemies and from the hands of all of those that hate us. That, to me, is enough to make you want to shout. Because if he saves you from your enemies, that means nothing should harm you. And when things do happen to your life, it's for a reason. I was listening to a sermon today, and he gave the reference of boxing. And I thought, again, how God lines up his word, because one of my little trips through the week, like I said, when he was doing my little journey, I watched this movie, Halle Berry's directed movie called Bruce. And I was watching how she was really famous at one point, and then she had some lows, and then she had to go back into boxing. But the training that she went through was inevitable. And I thought, wow, you know, to be a boxer, I was like, wow, that could really be a discipline route for me, praise God, and for my exercise. Because, I mean, you really have to be disciplined, and you have to be committed to what you're doing to train. And so, like I said, going back to this sermon that I listened to, and he made a good analogy. He said, boxing is a lot like how we live our lives in this system, how we have challenges. And so he called it sparring, and how when you spar, you have people in the ring to kind of do the same kind of things that you're preparing for a real fight. It's not necessarily to beat you down, but it does toughen you up so that when the real bout comes, you have the endurance. And so he made the reference that things and problems in life are like sparring, and how you're learning how to develop your faith. You're learning how to stand on your own and stand on the word, and why it's important for you to pray and for you to be disciplined in your prayer life and disciplined in your reading, so that when the real problem comes, amen, you're prepared because you've been sparring. And I thought, wow, Lord, revelation. So why did I have to have COVID? Why did I have to have cancer? Why? All these things in a matter of months. I couldn't grasp it. Because I thought, Lord, you know, my eyes, I thought that was enough. That I lost my vision. I thought that was enough. And so that wasn't enough, obviously, because even in the midst of that, it grew me to a level that I knew that I was called into ministry. And so going through this, my girlfriend says, Priya, I can't wait, because whatever you got to endure, what you got to go through, the assignment that you're going to have, I'm going to be so amazed and proud because I got to see you going through the process. So basically, she saw me through the sparring and how I kept being diligent, because I didn't give up on God. I didn't give up on praying. I probably didn't pray as often as I should have been, and probably didn't do all the other things as disciplined, but I had to do what I had to do to get through it. And so praise God, now that I'm on the other side, I can see that I was sparring, and I was sparring for a greater assignment. What that assignment is, I don't quite know yet. I kind of have an idea now that I'm completing these books, and praise God, y'all, I'm losing a little weight. Amen. But I believe that God is preparing me for my next assignment that will be bigger than the assignment that I had even before, when I thought that was it, because I had lost my vision for a couple of years. that is nothing compared to what I'm about to go through. And so even in the midst of it, when it was hard, and when I was watching this movie, you know, she was struggling. It was like, I can't do this. And they was like, yes, you can. You're equipped for this. You're Jess is Jackie or something, whatever. But she had a cool little name. And so, you know, amen, it made me think about, I'm Dr. Happy. Amen, I'm about to really do. And whatever the assignment is, I have been diligent with the little, and so God will be able to bless me with the much. So what are you doing? Are you doing what God has called you to do so that you can do what you need to do when the real assignment comes? The situations and the challenges that we're going through now are minor compared to what you're going to have to really face to do the assignment that God has got, because he's training us. And so we have these challenges, and we can't curse the challenge. We have to accept the challenge so that we can be stronger. We can be able to have the endurance that we need to do whatever the assignment that God has for us. And if we're doing the things that God has called us to do, then praise God, we have to believe that he sent Jesus to save us from our enemies and from the hands of those that hate us. The next step, that the thing in this particular passage of Scripture, Jesus came to make sure that we understood the mercy that God had for us so that he could develop a covenant with us, just like the covenant he gave to Abraham. Amen. That our seed, that's why I love that scripture, the vine, and that we will bear much fruit and our fruit will remain. That those are seeds that God promised us that we would have generations of our legacies, and we would do the things that God has called us to do if we do our part. He gave us mercy, and he promised us that he had a plan for us to prosper. Those are all part of his covenant that he made to us. One of the coolest things, because I love David, and I was reminded of David was destined to fight Goliath. But he fought a lion and he fought a bear before he got to the Goliath. So why was he so confident that he could conquer Goliath? It wasn't because he necessarily, you know, he was, you know, doing his thing, and he knew he could fight. He knew that God had delivered him to fight the lion. He knew that God had delivered him to fight the bear. So you better believe he's going to help me do this. Just as much as I had the confidence in knowing that I was going to survive cancer. Cancer didn't affect me. I mean, it did. But I didn't lose hope, because I knew if God had brought my eyes back, because now I can refer to that. They said I would never see again. Never. And I can, praise God. And then they also said that I would never go back into the socket. And it did. So I know that God can heal. And I know that he could take care of me. I was just kind of confused, the surroundings. And praise God, even this whole thing with COVID, I'm not worried about COVID. Are you kidding me? I serve a big God. And I know that I have an assignment, because I'm sparring to do whatever he's called me to do. And you have to have that kind of faith to believe that if Jesus said it, he meant it. He is the truth, he is the way, and he is the light. And if you don't believe it, then you need to read more so that you can build your confidence, so you can get in the sparring ring and build up your faith, build up and understand the mercy that God has promised. I like that the next 74 says, and he would grant us the delivery out of the hands of the enemy, that we might serve him without fear. That's why God has called me to write this book, Entice and Entangle by Satan. Because Satan is going to tell you exactly how I entice you and how I entangle you, and then how to get away from you. Because you have to be without fear to step to the enemy. He knows the Bible probably more than you do, and that's the problem. But if you know your word and you study your word, you have no fear, because you know that Jesus said, I do not give you the spirit of fear. Now, you may have some challenges where you may be afraid, but you're not operating in the spirit of fear, because he didn't give it to you. He gave you power, he gave you love, and he gave you a sound mind. Now, I said that many years and didn't believe it because I was still scared. But once God delivered me, I don't operate in fear like that no more. Stuff may set me back a bit, but that's more because I want things to go my way, and I want it to look like I want it to look. But I'm not doing anything out of fear, because I know that God said he would never leave. I mean, I believe that. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I believe that. I don't have to be afraid. You know, it's awkward going through the sparring, but praise God, I don't have to do it in fear, because I know God's going to deliver me. He's going to. And then 75 says, in holiness and righteousness. That's why it's so important. Let me finish. It says, all the days of our life. If you put your armor on, and when you put that breastplate of righteousness, are you kidding me? All your organs are covered, and you're operating in the holiness because you're putting on the helmet of salvation, so you already know you have the mind of Christ, and you got your organs covered by the righteousness, and you know the belt of amen. That's why the word is important. And so when we're talking about being married, are you kidding me? You know this stuff. You don't have to beat nobody up and tell them what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be in the word. That's all. We're supposed to be in the word, and God will give us, as my aunt said, the course. Because we know the source. Get on your course. Get in Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit can force you to do what you're supposed to do because, amen, he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And if it's yours, it's yours. Amen. And then 77 says, to give you knowledge of salvation and the remission of your sins. Forgiveness. Amen. Forgiveness is amazing because you don't do it for the other person as much as you do it for yourself. Because if you forgive, God can forgive you. So we got to forgive others because God forgave us. You can't hold on to stuff. Got to let it go because if you don't, it'll eat you up. Let it go. It's over with. I can't be crying over stuff that happened 40 years ago. Are you kidding me? I shouldn't be crying over stuff that happened last week. But holding stuff for 40 years, are you kidding me? Let it go, because I'm sure they have, because they've moved on with their stuff. You got to make sure that you do, because if God can help you and he can help you forget it, I know my aunt used to say all the time, I'll forgive you, but I ain't going to forget. And sometimes it is hard to forget. You step on my toe a couple times and I told you that my feet hurt and you going to do it anyway, that ain't going to be easy to forget, because whenever I see you, I'm going to move my feet out the way. But I don't have to hold that onto you for 40 years because March 15, 1935, you stepped on my toe and, you know, I ain't never speaking to you again. Thanks, we got to do better than that. Amen. And then it says, through the tender mercies of God, by the day spring that he has visited us, to have and know the presence of God is our key saint. We have to know that we hear from God. We have to know that we understand that it is necessary for you to be in his presence. Remember I said in the beginning, God don't like confusion and he don't like sin. And so if you got both of them and then unforgiveness, you harboring, you're blocking divorce, and you definitely are not on course. And so you're forgetting your source. You gotta do right. And then last but not least, which I will end on, is 79, and it says he gives light to them that sit in darkness, and the shadows of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So what does that mean? Jesus is the light of the world. And if you are operating in the light of the world, darkness can't stay around you. Have you ever tried it? But I'm sure most of us have, but we take it for granted. We take the man of light off and go to bed. Amen. It's dark, and because we're at peace and we close our eyes and go to sleep. But if you have a small candle, that room can be dark. Just a little light. Just a little light. You ain't got to be a minister or a preacher or evangelist and all this stuff. People think that they have to share God's light. A child can help you have revelation out of a situation you're in, especially if they're operating in the light of God. They can change the whole. Have you ever thought about when our children say, I love you, how we light up? Why do we light up? Because it's love. God is love. I could go hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, but I want y'all to really get this, and so that you can share this with your family. Take this time. Don't beat them up because they ain't been vaccinated. Don't beat them up because they ain't called all year. If they're there, love on them. Show them how much you can. Well, you may not can hug them completely, praise God. Just put your mask on. You can. People need love and have confidence that God is going to cover you. So, I mean, it irritates me so much how when we were talking about the ways that the enemy infiltrates and disguises himself, and how he uses strongholds, he gets a foothold and then it becomes a stronghold and it becomes a strong man. I believe in my heart, this whole COVID thing is a cosmic stronghold to create division between family and friends and just people. We're also divided now. When we didn't know no better in the first parts of COVID, when we all had to stay home, we had to learn how to adjust being around each other. And, you know, we were Zooming because we wanted to see each other so bad. And now we have the opportunity to see each other, but because you ain't vaccinated, I ain't coming. I don't want to be around you. If you are vaccinated, you're supposed to be covered, right? So if you're covered, what difference does it make if the person is vaccinated or not? You covered, remember? Oh, but maybe that's not all true, because if you doubt that, I mean, see what I'm saying? There's so much going on. Where is Jesus in any of this? Where is Jesus in any of this? Because I believe if David can fight a lion and a bear and a giant, surely, because my sister needs a hug, I'm going to not hug her because she ain't been vaccinated. Come on, people. We got to really follow the source, get on the course, and allow the force to do what we're supposed to do, and that is to love. Now, I'm not saying be dumb, or maybe dumb is too harsh, but that's how some of this has become, because we're eliminating God from the process. Or eliminate God from the process. If you really love somebody and you know they need, God will cover you because you're doing what he told you to do. Saints, we're too divided because we're allowing the world and situations and stuff to come between us. And we can't have a Merry Christmas or even focus on the things of God, because that's not God. God was amongst the people that were sinners and thieves and all that, trying to help them find the light. And we got our light, and we're going to keep it. I'm going to hide it in the closet, and I ain't going to let nobody see it. That's not what God is. Saints, I mean, again, I'm sore a little bit because I'm seeing how Jesus is. I'm pouting because I couldn't say a prayer for the people in Kentucky, and it had me down. And the Lord was like, well, wait a minute. Look what I have to see. What am I going through? I'm more focused on themselves and not each other, not their family and friends and those that I've called them to be. I have ministers that won't speak the truth because they just wanted people to feel good. I have people that are mad at each other because they didn't let them ride their bike when they were 12, and they're not speak. I mean, saints, we got to do better. We're talking about celebrating our Savior came for us. And even if this is a pagan holiday to you, amen, it's not in the Bible that this particular day, but still, we're taking the time to celebrate Jesus. Jesus is the reason for this season, and if the world is pausing for, give them a taste of the light. Don't keep feeding them darkness. Give them light. Show that you can be merry in the midst of January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and December. We don't have to just leave merry for Christmas. We need to be merry at all times so that we can show God's love, that we can be recognized for always being in a merry state, because we have the love of God in our hearts and in our minds. It's sad when a person that really, really loves the Lord is saddened because of how they've been treated. That don't feel good, thanks. It don't. Because you want to give and give and give and give and give, and then all you get is what they talk about for Christmas, put coal in my stockings. Come on. Yes, we got to do better. We can, right? I know we can. I know we can. I know you want to do better. So let Jesus be your course. And remember, God is the source. And allow the Holy Spirit to give you that force that you need to do what you need to do, so that the enemy can always be at bay, because he knows how strong we are. And one of the things that he hates the most is that Jesus gave us an opportunity. He don't have one no more. He blew his chance. Don't blow yours. Do what God has called you to do so that you can bring as many people to Christ as possible so they can see. Because sometimes you're the only Christ people see. And we know everybody reading the Bible, praise God. We need to be, but we know. So you're the only Bible some people see. So be the word. And let them understand what Merry Christmas means, that we are celebrating Christ And one of the definitions that I read about Christmas was the word came from Christ, celebration of Christ, and we did it during Mass. And so they just put them together, Christ Mass, during Christ at a Mass church service, and they just put it together. So Merry Christ Mass. So have your Mass, your worship service, and talk about Christ and be merry about it. How about that? That's not pagan. That we just celebrate, we're happy about Christ, and we're doing it in service. And what does God say? Two or three are gathered? Two or three are gathered. He is in the midst. Let him be part of your festivities when family is coming together, or get together for that matter. Mask up, have your hand sanitizer, you know, be a couple distance apart if you need to be, but celebrate it. People, we got to do better. We got to do better. Got to use wisdom, because he says ask for it, because he gives it liberally. And he'll let you know. And then just be obedient to what he's called you to. Now, I could keep talking, but it's about the time. Got a lot of talk, but don't have that much time. And so praise God, next week we'll talk about the new year, praise God. But praise God, the year is almost up. Make sure that you do what's necessary. Do a control or delete if you're not doing what God has called you to do. And start it over. And make God your source. Let Jesus be the course. And let the Holy Spirit be the force. This is Leah Killingsworth, Empowered to Change, Blog Talk Radio, where I encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so, praise God. I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song, Every Praise Belongs to God, because it does. And so I want all of you to believe that, too. I could have played a Christmas song to close this out, but I ain't going to neglect my granny because I know she loves this song. And some of you have said that you'd like it, too. So praise God. So I'll close the broadcast off with that. But please remember that you have to start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and then end your day with prayer, and God will be the source. Jesus will be the course, and the Holy Spirit will be the force in your life. God bless you, and tune in again next week.
Let me hear the worshiper! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
To our God.
Y'all know how we do it. Take it up and praise.
Every